to the Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, John Crockett and Steve Fizz.
Hello everybody and welcome to the first episode of our Thursday night shows. I'm John Crockett and as always, Steve Fizz. Steve, how are you, mate?
I'm doing all right, Jono. I just had a piece of Boston bun, and I'm looking at the Boston bun, and I'm thinking, why does half of it exist?
Like,
you only want the icing part.
Yeah, of course.
But other than that, pretty good. Hope listeners are doing good.
Yeah, hopefully for a Thursday, a nice balmy Thursday here. We've gone to two shows a week now, and this, for our first show, we are going to be just having a bit of a review of our listeners' draft that we had on Monday night. It was a bit of good fun with all the boys online, having a bit of banter. But before we get into that, a lot of news coming out over the weekend with injuries and suspensions and whatnot. We've seen Dane Zorko, which I thought was quite lucky to get 1 week for his striking charge, which is quite good for those who have drafted Zorko, which I am one of them, so very happy with that. Daisy Thomas, bit of a value late pick draft there. 1 week as well for his hit. And Jeremy Cameron, the big one, 4 weeks for breaking the jaw of that young Matheson boy. So a bit of a rest for Jeremy there. In good news, we get to see Joel Selwood this Friday night at Punt Road playing in the VFL. So be sure to get down there and make sure he's right for round one. Also, in a bit of injury news that came out today, or yesterday, sorry, we've got Ablett, KK, Lonigan, Prestida, all test for round one with O'Meara and Swallow still indefinite. So big news there, Steve.
Wasn't Swallow on the long-term injury list?
I didn't see it actually if it was long-term, but it just said indefinite. So I would imagine that is long-term injury list, you would imagine, because they're looking at Keogh and yet another young fella to upgrade off the rookie list.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you would like to send us a question, you can head over to facebook.com/thedraftdoctors, hit the like button, leave us a question there, or even just give us a bit of criticism or see what we're doing right or wrong or what you'd like to see, or head over to Twitter where we are at the Draft Doctors. And Steve, I think we got a bit of another review this week.
Yeah, we had another iTunes review. We really love it when our listeners can help us out by subscribing on iTunes and leaving us a review. It helps the show. This one's from our man Pedro78.
Pedro, vote for Pedro.
Well, he's actually Peter because he's in the Listener League as well. But he says it's the fantasy draft version of Bunnings. Where do you go when you want hardware? Bunnings. Where do you go when you want fantasy draft info? The Draft Doctors. Informative, relevant, and on point. Keep up the good work. Hashtag Saturday Beers.
Thank you, Saturday Beers, and thank you for joining our Listener League on Monday night. I'm sure you had a great time. I know I did. All right, and also don't forget to enter our best team name. We've had some awesome entries come in throughout the week. Steve, I believe you've got a couple there, do you?
Yeah, we got our best team name comp. It ends next week, so make sure you get our entries in. We had a few entries this week. We got Sydney Bradshaw sent us in Dangerous Field. I don't know if he's a Cats fan, but that's...
or a Rodney Dangerfield fan.
Yeah. Isaac Kenneth sent in 30 Trades of Grey.
Like it.
I kind of like that. There's a bit of, salary cap relevance as well. And John Ambo sent in, and I love this, Lobi 1 Kenobi.
Oh, big Star Wars fan. That's a big tick for me. So
that's awesome. I love that.
Love it.
But get those entries in, tweet them through, hit us up on Facebook, because the exclusive Draft Doctors t-shirt will be coming your way if you win.
There are not many in existence. That I know that for a fact.
Well, you don't even have one.
No, I've been waiting for you to get one. But for today's show, we're just going to do a bit of a dissection on our Listener League draft, which we had on Monday night. It was an ultimate footy draft where we got captains, finals. It was a snake draft where we got 5 defenders, 7 midfielders, 1 ruck, 5 forwards, 4 emergencies, and 3 on the bench. It was 10 teams, so had to rack your noodle a bit in those few of those late picks, but it was quite an enjoyable draft. And to start it off, we'll go through our top 10. Number one, or do you want me to say this again? Or
Yeah, keep going.
Yep. Number one was Tommy Rockcliffe. Number two, big old Steph Martin. Number three, Gary Ablett. Number four, Scotty Pendlebury. Five, Toddy Goldstein. Six, Little Jack Stephen. Seven, Nat Fife. Eight, Tommy Mitchell. Number nine, Dan Hannabury. And 10, Dusty Chopstick Martin. So two ruck and a forward in there, which is quite interesting, Steve.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I was pretty happy having picked two and having Steph Martin fall in my lap. But yeah, that was pretty much a pretty standard first round, I thought.
Yep, didn't see anyone like maybe a Lewis or a Barlow sneaking in or something like that.
Well, they could, but you know, I think everyone sort of followed the script and
wanted that captain lock sort of thing.
Yeah, well, that's a good point as well. You make that. Yeah, you do generally want the highest scorer, and I think most of those guys went. Hannabury at nine, maybe Goddard's second round. That was maybe one guy who could have made it up, but
even Luke Dalhouse was a second rounder at pick 11. But just looking at that person's team, he's gone pretty centre forward heavy at the start. So pretty interesting that one there. Dalhouse, I thought of maybe a third or fourth rounder for him.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I thought it was just interesting that it was basically all mids. Like, you know, there was only the one forward, but again, the captain's format lends itself to picking just the pure high scorers straight up. So that's what we got.
Yeah. And we're just going to go through and have a bit of a chat about some of the good and interesting picks that we saw out there. One for me, Sean Higgins at 104. I thought that was a really good pick and surprised he's actually slid that far, considering he's quite a decent ultimate footy scorer.
Yeah, I thought it was a really nice pick. You know, a lot of value there, getting past the first 10 rounds. So there was certainly, I probably would have picked him over some of the guys that went before him, but, you know, some great value there if you're looking to draft. Maybe Sean Higgins is a guy who will sneak through.
Yeah, absolutely. And just these are going to be just in random order. I'm not going to put them in the order they went just to mix it up a bit. But another one that, a bit of a left field, and I'd like to have known what was going through the person who picked this, but Tom Liberatore at pick 34. Quite an interesting one there for me, Steve.
Yeah, it was higher than I had him rated. I understand there's a bit of hype about him, but again, when we look at these preseason news articles that come out, they're so heavily weighted towards the salary cap players. You know, Tom Liberatore obviously gets a discount in salary cap, but if you're paying a high draft price for him, you really need him to return value. I'm not sure he returns value on that pick, but if you're a believer that Tom Liberatore is going to step up and go there, then that's up to you. You got to be comfortable with it.
Yeah, well, he's not as prolific in fantasy as he is in Supercoach. So, yeah, maybe Tom Liberatore can get to that 103, 4, 5 average that he had 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, like, I'm looking at the picks and Brad Ebert went at pick 50. This form, I'd probably, you know, Brad Ebert's 3 years of not missing a game and averaging around about 100. That's, Brad Ebert probably returns more value at pick 50.
Yep. But each of their own, and we're not knocking any picks here. We're just dissecting it as we see it. But again, we can't get in the heads of everyone here, so we're just having
We've been wrong like that one other time as well, Jono, in our lives.
Yeah, that's right.
God, man, I just want to remember we went. This is a classic. This has actually happened between me and Jono last year in our league of record. We made a trade. Me and Jono made a trade, and it's probably. It's the funniest trade that's ever happened. Was it Rory Sloan?
Rory Sloan and Lewis Jetta for Harley Bernal.
Yeah, and what happened, was it the next day or 2 days later?
It was the very next day.
Yeah, the very next day. We made the trade. The very next morning, we wake up to the Harley Bernal photo on the front of the Herald Sun. You all know what I'm talking about.
Sniff, sniff, hey?
Sniff, sniff. Man, I've never been... I was like, does Jono have an insider?
Oh, man, I was just so lucky on that one. That was just pure luck. So, hey, maybe...
So, we get them wrong. We get them wrong.
We get them wrong. And, yeah, it could be a sixth sense. Who knows? Maybe Tom Liberatore is going to kill it. One that was interesting for me was Jimmy Bartel. We didn't see him much in the preseason, and then he went down with that concussion, which was number 700 for him. So for me, a bit of concern there, and I actually had him much lower on my list, but again, each their own. It's Jimmy Bartel. How can you pass him up?
Yeah, he feels like a great value to me where he is.
Yeah.
Well, I should say he felt like a great value at the start of, you know, when we were researching back in December. Well, and the thing is that the value's sort of scary. It seems like they don't know where to play him.
No, he's what, defender mid, but...
I mean, in the real football, it doesn't seem... Like, I don't know where he's playing now.
No, that's right. But good pick. I like it, but very dicey for me, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, I look at the guys who have gone after him, and like Birchall went after him. You know, did Collegiazny went after him? I don't know. Bartel probably has more upside, but the other guys probably have a higher floor.
And there was one guy, I mean, I got this guy, pick 86, Corey Enright. He's just a fantasy god. I know he's about 700 years old, but how I got him at pick 86 is bewildering to me.
That's the big slider of the draft.
Yeah. And we've actually, just talking to a few of our mates, Corey Enright has slid in a few drafts, actually. So if you do like Corey Enright, maybe it's the year he does fall off that cliff, but who knows. But
how's this, Jono? You generally knock the old guys, and I'm generally all for them. When you get them at a great draft value like you got Corey Enright, there's nothing better.
No, and that was my third defender. And like, I'm super stoked I got him as my third defender.
Yeah, yeah.
The value pick, and that's what happens in these, what, 7 to probably 14. You look for that value pick when it presents itself. Like, yeah.
Well, the way you structure up your first, say, 4 or 5 rounds really affects what you do through the next 5. And, you know, if you see a great value like that, then jump on it.
Yeah, you just got to jump it no matter what your structure is. If it's value, just grab it. And that's what happened to me. And, again, we'll be talking about them pretty soon. But one value picker that I liked was Mark Murphy at 108.
Yeah, I like it, but I don't like it in the same breath because we haven't seen him this preseason. We don't know how that shoulder's going to hold up. We've seen in a couple of recent seasons that shoulder injuries can hinder players.
Yep.
It can not hinder them. Like, you know, your Scott Pendlebury can go out and just kill it, but that's Scott Pendlebury, for God's sake.
But then you see an Ablett and Sooks for the whole season.
So we... Yeah, I understand it. And like, if Mark Murphy plays and is free, it's going to be return huge value.
Well, you think your boy, big boy, Paddy Cripps is going to be the number one midfielder there now at Carlton, would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he is. But, you know, Mark Murphy's probably the better runner. Like, having a shoulder injury doesn't affect your running capacity. We know he's been an elite possession collector over the years. I don't expect that to stop.
No, you'd probably see Cripps and Murphy as your 1-2 midfielders this year.
Well, I think Gibbs is going to have a good year as well, and he's another guy we should talk about.
Yeah, 137 he fell to.
People hate Bryce Gibbs.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see him go in that, 12th to maybe 16th round sort of category.
Well, people hate him. Plus, he had such a terrible year last year. He's
got a man bun. No one likes a man bun, but every footballer's got one now.
No one likes a man bun.
No, but I was checking out his stats and averages over the last few years. He's gone a 101 or 105 to a 96, 98. 101, 105, 96, 98. So he's up and down, but still presents a lot of value there at pick 137 or at the end of the 14th round, essentially.
Yeah, it's a fantastic draft value. That's really the bottom line on that.
Yeah, I quite like that pick. Another one I really liked was Luke Bruce at 169.
Yeah, that's an interesting pick. You know, he's goal dependent, but I think he should be great for the first half of the year with Ruffett out. Hawthorn aren't going to fall off the map.
No, that's right. But
I liked him, you know, as a sneaky Coleman pick, and if he's going to be a sneaky Coleman pick, he's probably going to be kicking average, you know, well, maybe not average, but certainly going to be kicking 3 or 4 goals enough to warrant that pick.
And that was 165, sorry, not 169.
But in that range, you're not picking much better. Like, you know, you're sort of looking at your Jack Darlings and these sort of guys. And
Andrew Flow, your Jack Steeles went at this sort of range. Jack Grimes and Zach Williams and Bernie Vince. So I thought that was great value and a very good fantasy scorer.
Yeah. Well,
Who else we got here? Buddy Franklin, got to talk about him. Pick 54 in our draft. A lot of good value there. Round 6. Didn't expect that one, to be honest.
Yeah, it's an interesting value because, more so because of the forwards that went in front of him, I think. You know, if you said at the start of the preseason that Sam Gray was going to be drafted in front of Buddy Franklin, people wouldn't believe you.
No.
But that's how it went. You know, Toby Green went in front of him. Did Westhoff go in front? Westhoff went in front of him. You know, all these guys went in front of him, and I've got to feel like this has got to turn a good value.
Oh, absolutely. What was that, 6th round pick? Beautiful pick.
He's he's an injury risk and all that sort of thing. But just when you compare him to the guys in front of him, his ceiling's way higher.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We know what he did in that last NAB Challenge game. And absolutely, buddy, brilliant.
Yeah, so you've got him 2 rounds after, you know, Toby Green and Dane Zorko. Dane Zorko's probably a good pick, but two rounds after? That's fantastic.
Oh,
even what's his worst outcome, you know? He's going to return value on that, surely.
Yeah, I quite like that pick. I thought it was a very good pick. Ex-Hawthorne teammate, Sean Burgoyne at number 72. I thought it was, 72. So that was a great pick there. No, he was lower than that. He was 172, my mistake.
Yeah, so if you said 72, that's a poor value. At 172. That's a fantastic value. Again, bit of old man syndrome, I think. You know, if he's probably looking like your fifth defender or fourth defender at that stage of the draft, that's great.
Yeah,
you got Sean Burgoyne as your last defender. Come on.
Yeah, just having a look at the team. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, it was his fifth defender, so great pickup there. And you've got Brenda Goddard, Jimmy Bartel, Taylor Duray. So
and Sheridan. So I mean, you know, that's a great defense.
Yeah, very, very solid defense there. So good drafting there with Cam Sutcliffe to back up. So who knows with that one?
Yeah. Yeah, he's threatened to break out a number of times, but hasn't happened.
No, that's right. And an interesting one for me, this guy went at 109 with Liam Shields. We know he's out for 6 weeks with that broken wrist. So maybe a little bit early, but I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
I don't mind it because...
109, sorry, not 106.
It's 109. It's the 11th round. It's the back end of the 11th round. 6 weeks is 6 weeks, but it's not a soft tissue injury. I'm not super concerned. He's probably your fourth or fifth midfielder. What's Liam Shields going to average? 95, maybe?
Yeah, I can see.
Okay, so you're gonna plug someone in off the bench who averages 85. So you lose 10 points for 6 weeks. Big deal.
Yeah. Okay, so you like that? I'm a bit iffy on it. But another one who a bit of a slider for me. I thought he might have gone a bit higher. Was Lukey Parker from Sydney Swans, went at number 44 in the 5th round in our draft.
So yeah, that's
presents a lot of value and upside there for the guy who drafted him there.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's okay.
Can you see him improving on that average from the last couple of years?
It's fine. It's just, you know, you're getting into that 5th round. Everyone's, you know, the people who went mid-heavy early have to start picking up the other guys. So players like Luke Parker, you know, they all sort of hit this round. You know, your Lockie Neals, your all those sort of Ollie Wines. They sort of get to this range and they all sort of, some of them are going to return huge value and some of them are just going to be where they are, I think.
Well, this guy, he drafted pretty well. He's gone Pendlebury, Barlow, Treloar, Neil, Parker.
I think his team's fantastic.
That's an awesome start to your draft right there.
Yeah.
And he's Sean Higgins at 104, this guy. So awesome drafting right there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought Treloar was a fraction early, but, you know, I haven't been high on him all preseason, so.
But, yeah, from the game I watched on the weekend, I'll jump up a couple of spots, but not huge. But have to watch him maybe round one and maybe steal a deal, a trade, which we can talk about later.
Well, an interesting one. He's chosen Matt Roser at 77, and Hamish and Corey Enright was still on the board. That's one that could go either way for you. It could return huge value, but...
Yeah, maybe the DPP, likes the DPP option there. Who knows, just to open up his forward and some backs.
Yeah.
Well, you've got Jared Harbour out as well a bit later on, so and Sam Mays, both backman centre. So, yeah, plenty of options to play around with there.
Well, I think we both looked at the team and thought that was probably the best team.
One of the best, yeah, absolutely. Definitely top two for me.
Yeah, probably with me. No offense.
yours was about third, Steve. Mine was second.
Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, if you get Enright at pick 86, that's gold.
That's your whole draft. I got this guy. That's
me. I got this guy, that's it. Locked up. Done. Now we'll just talk about a few of the blokes who have got those long-term injuries, but which we don't know about coming back, and those who players like your Daniel Wells, where you got at pick 122, which I thought was a great pick in the start of the 13th round. So I can see Daniel Wells going in that 12 to 15 range bracket. What do you think, Steve? I know you got him at pick round 13.
Yeah, this is like... Well, I looked at it was interesting because the way I drafted, I really had to get a forward there. Daniel Wells is my second forward. I actually thought it was totally vomit worthy, but you know, it is what it is. He'd probably break down and it'll look terrible. But I think his form in the NAB Cup, he's a good player. We know he's gone huge in the past. So, look, he could return huge value because of the names he's been drafted after. But again, he could totally bust out. I think that 13. Yeah, I think you're right. That 12 to 15 range is where he's going to go.
Yeah.
If you had a couple forwards and he was your third forward, you could probably wait a couple of rounds. And if you missed him, big deal, sort of thing. But I think of the guys in this range, he represents the most upside, but also probably the biggest bust potential as well.
Because you had Sam Kerridge go the next straight after, pretty much in the next round at pick 132. So I put them in the same sort of bracket. For now, even though Kerridge has got not that injury history.
Yeah, well, Kerridge has got some upside, but the thing is, Daniel Wells is in a team that's, well, it's in the finals mix.
Yeah.
Whereas Carlton's going to be terrible. I know Kerridge has had a great preseason, but it's the preseason, man. How many times have we seen a guy like Kerridge or last year Jed Anderson blow it up and then, you know...
See nothing.
The other thing is Sam Kerridge has done it in real football, so
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, a lot to like about him. The big one, the old Dano Beams, who, again, you've selected at pick 79 in the eighth round, end of the eighth round.
Yeah.
This was a big talking point, I thought.
Dano Beams, it was.
Where to get him, actually.
It was, and I was going to choose him at 79 or 82, but because I was pick two, so I'm on that turn area.
Yep.
So I thought I'll just be safe. I was going to get him with 82 if I can get him at 79. So I got him, just I'll make sure of it. We actually put a Twitter poll up about Dane Beams, whether people thought it was where I got him was too early, too late, or just about right. And most people thought it was just about right. There was a little bit of the second option was too low.
Yep.
But one thing, do we have time to talk about something for a little bit?
Yeah.
I guess we do. We don't have. Yeah.
Yep.
So I looked at it. I think it's a great pick. And I did a bit of math on it, guys. So when we're playing draft, one thing you really want to look at and you go is called VORP or VORP. It's called value over replacement player. So in that range, I'm looking at the guys who are around Dane Beams, and the guys are sort of like your Pierce Hanleys, your Dion Prestias, your Shields, those sort of guys. So Dane Beams is clearly a better player. I feel Dane Beams can average 105. We know he's gone 100 and I think his top dream team average is 116.
Yep.
So I don't think 105 is too otherworldly to suggest as an average. Would you agree, Jono?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, we've seen him go, yeah, as you said, 116. So to put that value at a 105 where we see those... Hanley, Shields, blokes in those categories.
Well, the thing is, I think those other guys are sort of your high 90s averages to sort of 95, 98 average. So if Dane Beams misses 5 weeks, I have to cover Dane Beams for 5 weeks. I've drafted Anthony Miles as my eighth midfielder. So he covers him. If he doesn't cover him, then I've got who did Cook I get? Nick Graham even later. Okay, so if these guys come in and average sort of 87, we work it out using our VORP that let's say these guys average 85. Okay, so I'm losing 20 points for 5 weeks. That's 100 points in the grand scheme of things. Does Dane Beams make that back up over the other 17 games? He does.
He does, yeah.
When you work it out, it's about 101, okay, with the replacement games. So his average over the season with the replacement players is still better than the other guys in that range.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it work for me.
Yeah.
Of course, this is the other thing. He's injured. We don't know. He might miss 10 weeks. And that's when it really starts going downhill as a pick. But I'm comfortable with the thought of him missing 4 or 5 matches.
And I guess, again, the next player we'll talk about, Jared Ruffhead, a guy you picked at 159. Again, similar train of thought there.
Yeah, I think that's I really missed out on forwards early. I didn't get my second forward, which was Daniel Wells, until 122 because I just didn't like the other forwards. So I got Daniel Wells as my second forward. I got Took Miller as my third at 142.
Yep.
I really want some insurance on my forward line. We got a pretty deep bench in this format with the 4 emergencies and the 3 bench. So I can stash Jared Ruffhead. That's not an issue. In this range, we're looking at guys like your Bruce's, you Took Miller's, your Jack Darling. Man, Jared Ruffhead's better than these guys every day of the week.
Oh, quite easily.
So to me, it's a value pick again using the VORP formulas. If you want to go online, there's tons and tons of information about that.
It's mainly in the American fantasy sports where it's a big thing over there and relatively new here in Australia.
Yeah, well, I think that's where we're a bit green in the Australian drafting world.
Fantasy world.
Yeah, well, that's true to a point. But, they're so far in front of us in terms of statistics and draft analysis that these are the sort of ideas you can use to take advantage of your league mates. Look, if someone takes Dane Beams in round 4, then you can't stop that. But,
no.
But again, using the math, there's no value in that pick because you can just turn around and draft, who did you mention before? Luke Parker.
Yeah.
So that's, sort of using these sort of formulas and statistics and methods, you're the player who can mine the gold and return value on your picks. Because at the end of the day, that's what you want out of your pick. Your draft pick is the player you pick is equity. So you're investing your draft equity into a player, and you got to be comfortable with who you pick.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's no way I'm picking Nick Boston ever in my team. I hate the bloke. There's no equity in him.
Yeah, but, you got to be comfortable with your pick. If it doesn't work out, hey, at least you were comfortable picking the guy. And I'd hate to pick someone I didn't want and have it go sour. Then I'd really kick myself.
Yeah, and that's where these last... next bloke we're going to talk about is the Jaeger Bomb, O'Meara. But again, in those last 4 rounds, that's where you can have a bit of fun and try it out. Few different players here and there where you think, hey, there is some upside, there is some value here. Have a crack at them.
Oh, absolutely. We've been talking the whole time we've been doing our show about the lottery ticket picks, and I want them. Look, I got Nathan Wilson at 202. He could be crap, but I can just throw him back on the pile. It doesn't matter. I've lost nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Blaine Bocas, you got Angus Brayshaw, Harry Cunningham, who I quite like as a player. Seb Ross, I'm looking at here. Petrarca, we don't know what he's going to do.
Every year it happens. Look at last year, we had a player in our league of record get Blixarves at pick 22, and we all looked at each other like he was crazy.
Yep.
Man, he had the last laugh.
He certainly did.
So, those lottery ticket picks, sometimes you hit them.
Yeah. As we've mentioned last week, I hit it with David Armitage last year in coach. So it happens, but O'Meara at 154, Steve, I know you're not a big fan, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
No.
I think it's... we've been against Jaeger all year. And look, he's going to miss... We don't actually know how long he's going to miss.
It's indefinite.
They're starting to talk half a season. I know we've just spoken about it returning value, but he's coming back from Like, what's his injury? It's the smashed kneecap thing. Which players are bad when they come back from it. What did he get him? 154.
Yep.
So you could have got... Okay, so... No. But what are you going to get out of it? Like, he's not going to average massive.
No, you wouldn't think so, especially with no preseason, especially in there. You're right. You can't run, you can't kick, you can't do anything, really.
So you could have got Jack Nunes at 155.
Louis Taylor was still there.
Jack Crisp. Sean Griggs injured as well. Mitch Wallace. These are other centers in that sort of ballpark. Look, yep. If you think he's going to come back and tear it up and it's all media smoke, Andrew Swallow went after him.
He's good. I like Andrew Swallow for his tackles. I'm a tackle man. Love all the tackles.
I just...
That didn't sound right, but anyway.
Oh, man. Hey, at least we could appeal to a new whole new crowd here.
Can you edit that? I'm going to get you to edit that.
There's no editing. I can't edit anything. Yeah, Aaron. Look, yeah, I know. Look, people love Jaeger. That's fine. I'm not one of those people because, especially this year, I think he's a better value next year. Yeah. If he comes back and plays 8 games, then next year, great, awesome.
8 games, and if they stick him in the forward for half the time, hey, who knows? He could get that DPP.
Yeah, he could do.
And the last pick I want to really talk about, and this is a bit of a sore point for Steve. Steve was recording the show. We were recording the drive, having a bit of a chat, and he keeps going, Billy Hartung, Billy Hartung, Billy Hartung. Just, yep, pick 5 to go, pick 4 to go, 3 to go, 2 to go, up to Steve. Pick before him. Billy Hartung gets selected. I think I heard the cat get kicked, everything turned upside down. A lot to like about Billy Hartung, actually.
A lot to like, man. I was actually, because I was looking through the lists, and if I knew he was there around earlier, I probably would have picked him, but it just escaped me, and I wasn't on the ball, and I missed him. Who did I end up getting instead? Because I'm sure it's horrible. Blaine Bokhorst.
Blaine Bokhorst.
Billy
Hartung. Hey, you could have got Nathan Vardy.
Who?
Yeah, the guy who I got.
That's a fun thing. We could rip each other's teams right now. Yeah, like, say, who the worst picks are and all that.
My first ruck went at 166, round 17.
Callum Sinclair.
I feel
better about having...
Blaine Bokhorst.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say Steph Martin.
Yeah, I'd like to have Steph Martin, but not all of us have pick 2.
Well, actually, I've posted my team online. Maybe we could break down your team and I'll post it online as well. And people can say good, bad, or the other. Actually, I had a comment on mine saying that there was a lot of injury risk players. And yeah, there is.
Yes, there is.
well picked up. Do you want to talk us through your strategy? I'll post it up on Facebook and Twitter and you can talk it through here and people can have a look at it and go,
Yeah, well, as a captain's league, best midfielder, Jack Stephen at 6, I thought was great value as a high-scoring midfielder last year. So that was an instant lock for me. And then I thought, no, need a vice-captain as well. Jordan Lewis still at 15. Again, presented great value to me. Had to take it.
I'm going
to
cut you off right there. That is a great pick, absolutely. But that's funny because I know how much you love Jordan Lewis.
I hate Jordan Lewis with him. I hate him more than Nick Vlosten. But still, again, that value's there.
You cannot pass it up. Yeah, that's huge value.
So, took him there, got me safe, nice vice-captain. Going around me started being forwards and a couple of ruckmen. So then I thought, I'd change it up, except for you. You took, I wanted Matty Boyd, but you got him a couple of picks before me.
Yeah.
So I went Jared McVeigh with my third pick at number 26. Again, and then having a look around, people were going centres, backs, and whatnot. So my fourth pick at number 35 was Dane Zorko, which I quite liked, actually.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, because Toby Green went before me. And, I could have grabbed Lachie Neal or anything, but I thought better get in on that forward bandwagon. So I went first four picks. I went centre, back, centre, and then I went, forward. And then I went another forward in Justin Westhoff. My sixth pick came around, and David Mundy was still there at pick 55. I thought, you can't pass that up.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So we're looking back, and you had I had Jordan Lewis as a top-tier midfielder in this game. Did you had him there as well?
Yeah, I had him thereabouts in that 8 to 13 bracket.
Okay, so we'll look at this and say you've got a top-tier guy at an extreme value in the second round, because we're talking about our tiers here. So yep. Coming back to your third pick, people have been picking all the top forwards. So what's left? Jono hasn't followed the run by choosing a lesser forward. He's chosen one of the top-end defenders, really.
Yeah, one of the elite defenders still sitting there. Again, even Dane Zorko, I rate as a top five forward. So,
yeah, okay. See, I had him in my second tier. So that's why I really liked the Jared McVeigh and then getting Zorko.
Yeah. Well, horses, of course, but I'm when I draft, I love my defenders. I'm partial to defenders because I've been a defender all my life in sport. So just load up on the defenders because I see the most value in them. Yeah, they're going to give you a crap game here and there, but they're still presenting the most value, in my opinion. So I've just loaded up on the defenders.
Okay, so you've gone Mundy at 55. Oh, that's yep. your third mid.
Yep. Pick 7, I've gone Tommy Langdon at 66. Again, I see him as great value this year and really stepping up in that Collingwood defence. And pick 8, Tommy Lynch from Adelaide. Just, yeah, it's an unsexy pick, but hey, he averages 88 or whatever.
Yeah, it's an ugly man. It's an ugly, ugly, ugly man.
But you got to do it. you got to pick unsexy.
Yeah. Hey, was there any... We know your team, you missed out on a ruck, so you really had to... You just mined some value late in the 17th round. Was there any interest in pick 55? The very next pick was Blixarves. Was there any thought of getting Blixarves there instead of Mundy?
No. I saw Mundy as better value than Blixarves, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I could have grabbed him, but yeah, no, I saw Mundy as the better value, especially if they change positions after the 6 rounds, I believe it is.
Oh, we're so, locked. We're locked, buddy.
Oh, we're not playing that way. Well,
we are not.
Damn it. Maybe I should have gone Blixarves, but no, I'm still happy with Mundy. I think this guy is a star, and that's a great pick for me. Pick 86 in the 9th round, Corey Enright. How I ever got that, I don't know, but I love it. Hamish Hartlett, again, unsexy pick, but I'll still take him.
He's consistent.
He's consistent, that's right, doesn't miss. And 10th round, I'll take that. Like, this guy, I've got a bit of a soft spot for my 11th pick, Dylan Roberton. Don't know how he's going to go, but yeah, we like.
It's only because he had a crappy last Nap Cup game. He's fine.
He's fine. Another value pick I thought I saw here was Michael Johnson from Fremantle.
Don't worry about the concussion issues, maybe, from when he got his head slammed in the ground.
Yeah, that was like a tombstone pole driver from The Undertaker, that
wasn't,
one.
Wasn't good.
No, but yeah, pick 115, I'm happy with it. And then sort of just filling out my team. I was just airy-fairy a bit, really. I went Riscatelli, Bob Murphy, Stephen Hill, Jack Nunes, Callum Sinclair as my first ruckman in round 17. So, yep. Again, all these other players were going, like Cruiser had gone, Lobie had gone, et cetera, et cetera. So I just sat back, waited, and Sinclair was still there. I'm actually quite high on Sinclair. I think he's going to have a great year. Then I got Sean Grigg, didn't realise his finger was broken, but I've got plenty of centre coverage. And my last forward was...
But he's only going to miss like 3 weeks.
If that.
So, big deal. Like
maybe 2 games. And then my last forward was Drew Petrie, which I don't mind this year. He's lost that weight. He's lost 7 kilos, so he's going to be more mobile, I think. So, could present a bit of value there. And then just to round out my emergencies and bench cover, I got Mitch Wallace, Kobe Stevens. Mind you, these are all going to be Bulldogs players.
I love Kobe Stevens at that pick.
206.
That's huge.
Yeah. Great value there, I thought. Clancy Pierce, a bit of a dice roll if he plays. Nicky Dell, yeah, he's not the best in this format, but I still love the bloke. And then Nathan Vardy and Sam Fisher rounded out my team.
Yep.
So, yep. Not a world beater, not undervalued, but it's just a nice solid team, and then I can trade around that with plenty of defenders there that people will come knocking for, I think.
Yep. Except for Shaky Chan. Sorry, I didn't mean to say his name. You got a lot of defenders. awesome defenders.
Yes, he does. But so, yeah. People will need defenders. So,
so now, I'm gonna have a look at your team and start breaking down who I hate, where I hate them. I don't know about Steve Hill.
I'm a fan.
Yeah,
and he's on my bench at the moment. So
there's not a lot to not like, to be honest. It's pretty it's pretty okay.
You got you have your players that you love to watch, and I love watching Stephen Hill play.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so
and if it was there in Supercoach draft, I'd be all over it.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, I think that just about wraps up the show. Steve, have we got a question, mate?
Yeah, we have a question that came through our message box, so I'm not going to delve into it too deeply or reveal the person's name, but they've drafted already in Ultimate Footy. They've got Goddard as a defender, and they're starting to get cold feet.
As you would.
Well, I still like Goddard. Look, the guys haven't played a game yet. So unless someone comes to me with a big offer, I'm sort of, why didn't I just draft him whoever I wanted? So he's getting cold feet. He's starting to look for a bit of value. I'd say if there hasn't been any games played, so there's been nothing to diminish anyone's value, aim high.
Yep.
Aim high. Look, if you aim low now, you probably still get the same value as in round three.
Yep.
After they've played three matches of actual football. I mean, if Goddard comes out and it goes 80-80-80, you probably still get low value. You're going to get low value then. Why not shoot higher now?
That's true. Where there's nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yeah, so send us in your questions, guys. We're obviously, a lot of people have drafted already. We're going to be talking a bit of trade strategy next Monday, Jono?
Yes, with our Monday show coming up in a couple of days, we're going to be talking trade strategy and maybe even a bit more waiver strategy with the, I think the waivers will open up by then with, and most people would have drafted hopefully over by the weekend and not leaving it too late. I know we're drafting on Sunday and I cannot wait.
Oh man, draft day is the best day. If you got a league with mates, it's the best day.
Look, I said to my missus last night, I said, draft day is the second best day behind my birthday.
Mate, we've just had a kid. Which one do you think I was looking forward to more?
Draft day.
And I'll give you the tip, people. There's an equal amount of crying.
There will be on Sunday.
But yeah, hit us up with... we love interacting with you guys. You know, this is the whole reason we do the show. We really love talking fantasy all the time. So send us in those questions at the Draft Doctors on Twitter. Tweet us messages if you don't want what you said public. You can
private messages. There's no character limit. So if you've got a really long question... Yeah, just send it there or even private messages on Facebook. We'll see it. We'll get back to you. Answer it as best we can and hopefully it helps you to win your league this year.
Yeah, we're usually pretty quick on all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we have these silly things called jobs to get in the way, but hey, we'll get around that.
We do. We do get around it.
We do. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. As Steve said, hit us up on Twitter at the Draft Doctors or go over to facebook.com/the Draft Doctors. Hit the like button, leave us a comment. If we can improve the show any way we can, let us know and we'll see you Monday. Bye. Yeah.